This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Screenwriter Richard Price has updated the 1947 film noir, Kiss of Death. He kept the title, but changed much of the story. His film stars David Caruso as an ex-con who's lured back into a ring of car thieves run by a very crazy Nicolas Cage. Caruso is caught, but the cops offer to let him off if he helps them penetrate the operation. Caruso has to report to a cop, played by Samuel Jackson, who was shot in the face during the bust. Jackson has made Caruso wear a wire. In this scene, Caruso is passing on information to Jackson after a rough night with the car thieves.
These are the cars we took.
Where'd they go? Terminated body parts? Got anything else?
Yeah, there was a guy from the DMV there, but I couldn't get his name.
Yeah, we're on to him. So you hook up with Junior?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how about Omar? Cut in Omar?
In two. Bought everything on the sheet, big bag of nines, going for a dozen max over the weekend.
All right. So I'll get that wire.
I threw it away.
What?
I threw it away. I got patted down twice tonight.
So you're all right with him? That'll make it easier.
Easier for what?
Easier to wear a wire.
Let me ask you a question. Why you? You know, why did they put you on me? Revenge?
You see this eye here? Runs all the time. I can't make it stop. I got a third of my hearing in this ear. And when I want to go to the beach, direct sun gives me a migraine so bad I cry like a baby. So I asked for you. And if you take that wire off one more time, I'm personally going to beat you to death.
Richard Price is no stranger to the worlds of cops and crime. He also wrote the best-selling novel Clockers about cops and teenage drug dealers. Spike Lee's film adaptation is scheduled to open in September. Price also wrote the screenplays for Sea of Love, The Color of Money, and Mad Dog and Glory, which co-starred David Caruso. I asked Richard Price why he wanted to remake Kiss of Death.
It just had, you know, such an off-the-wall villain. The problem is that, you know, the villain, Richard Widmark, Tommy Udo in the original, was about as close to a sacred monster as you can get in those B-movies. So he's the thing that attracted me, yet he was the character that I better not go near. The other thing that was interesting to me was the dilemma of the sap in the middle, Victor Mature, who was squeezed between the amorality or the ambitiousness of the forces of law and order and the bad guys. And for that time period, 1947, I don't think I had ever seen a movie that was that cynical about good versus evil. And I thought that was very appropriate now, or could be busted open, you know, to set the tale now.
The racket that you built Kiss of Death around is a car theft ring. Why did you go with that?
Well, first I thought about doing drugs, and
Then you said, did that.
Well, not did that. I mean, I ran into Nick Pileggi, and I had mentioned that I was going to be doing something, you know, using the arena of drugs. And he said, oh, what are you doing that for? At this point, I don't care how well it's written. At best, it's a TV movie. And it was his suggestion, why don't you do cars? I mean, cars make as much money for organized crime as drugs do, if not more. And then I hooked up with a police connection, a guy who was in the auto squad in Newark, which is the car stealing capital of the world. You know, I went to my local car mechanic, you know, who's quote-unquote an interesting character. And I hooked up with one of Nick Pileggi's resource people, quote-unquote. You know, and I just did a little field work and I learned a little bit about the mechanics. The whole point of mastering the mechanics of something as arcane as stolen car business, how does it work, is just to know enough so you don't feel like a fool when you start making things up. You know, the parameters of reality in which you're making up lies. So it's like responsible lying.
You know, my heart sank watching the movie because the car thieves in the film would go up to a car equipped with a pricey alarm and just, you know, deal with the alarm and get the car in 2 seconds.
I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, basically all I know about cars is D stands for drive, R stands for reverse, you know, an 89 Toyota. You know, I'm not into cars. You know, but what I learned is that if they want a car, they're going to get it. The end.
Richard Price is my guest. He wrote the screenplay for the new film Kiss of Death. He also wrote Clockers. David Caruso has gotten really good reviews in Kiss of Death, and I think Kiss of Death was a real kind of testing ground for him in the movies because he left NYPD Blue and...
There's a second... It's funny because on one hand, there were two objects of attention which were competing with each other. One is the movie. Is it good? Is it bad? Two, does David Caruso have feet of clay, or is he going to be a superstar? Was he right or was he wrong?
Exactly.
You know, so it seemed like it was almost like a second layer of reviews.
Right.
The movie got a review, and David Caruso's choice to be a movie actor
exactly.
over a TV star got a review.
Exactly.
And I got to tell you, most of the reviews I read were very positive and endorsing, his potential as a star, and then you'd get all these other reviews saying, I didn't like the movie. David Caruso's a jerk. He never should have left TV. Well, why didn't you like the movie? Because he never should have left NYPD Blue. You know, I hope the guy just goes through the roof myself. But it was really interesting. It was almost like a lot of people just weren't even reviewing the movie. The movie was just this vehicle, you know, for the real object to be reviewed.
So this is his first movie. Kiss of Death is his first movie since NYPD Blue. Did you call him up as soon as he left and ask him to do it?
No, you know what it is? It's this, the casting in a studio film is funny. It's like there are two big circles. And one circle is the movie stars that a studio will do anything with, no matter how appropriate or inappropriate. If you're doing a movie about an elderly black gentleman, and Tom Cruise wants to do it, Tom Cruise will do it. They'll put him in blackface. Or they'll change the character to a young white gentleman. You know, it's like they'll do anything to get the stars that they want. Everything is secondary to that. So they had a list of stars that they were interested in. Barbé and I had a list of people that we thought could really pull this off. And there's this very little tiny shaded area where the two circles intersected. We're about two or three actors. So, you know, Caruso was one of those very few choices that the studio liked and we liked.
My guest is Richard Price. He wrote the screenplay for Kiss of Death, and he wrote the best-selling novel, Clockers. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with screenwriter and novelist Richard Price. I remember with your previous film, Mad Dog and Glory, there were test screenings, and I think the studio asked you to change the ending, and
they asked
re-editing.
To change the ending. They asked me to, you know, take my head off and replace it with something else.
Did you have test screenings for Kiss of Death?
Yeah. Apparently, that's the way they do things now. There's so much money involved in the release of a movie. It's an average $25 million budget, and then you got to double that to advertise and release and rent theater rentals. And they're not going to put out a $40, $50 million investment out there without any market research.
So what effect did the test screenings have on the final shape of the film?
Well, not too much, I don't think. Sometimes they can tell you things that you need to know, like, we're not getting it. We don't understand what's going on here. And sometimes, because you're so deep inside the story, you think that everything in your head made it to the page, and often it didn't. And they're telling you that there's a sense of incoherence about the narrative. Sometimes they'll tell you that stuff, and you got to hear that. The problem with Kiss of Death for a lot of people, somebody said, well, we're not sure who the bad guys are and who the good guys are. Well, that's the point of the story. That's the whole source of attraction for me, was this guy had nobody to rely on, that, you know, the ambition of the good guys was equal to the ambition of the bad guys. But people like very clear lines, who's bad and who's good.
So what did you do with that feedback?
Me, nothing.
Did the studio ask you to do anything?
Oh, probably. You know, they sort of drown you in memos. The ending, well, I'll tell you one thing, that even before the movie was made, they said the ending had to be changed. So, you know, the hero sort of won the day in a very spectacular and single-handed way, bring down the mob, you know. Because my original ending was probably too passive, which is that Nicolas Cage was going to kill Jimmy, the David Caruso character, and before he did it, he in turn was assassinated by his own people because he was too crazy and he had gone too far, and that was the original ending that I had. And they just felt like, no, we're following this guy. No way you can have him, like, luck out, quote unquote, on the end. He's got to take destiny in his hands. He's got to do something big.
So your attitude has to be, okay, yes?
Well, you know, it's a hard trick, because if they don't want you to do that, you're not going to do that. It's their dime.
Mm-hmm.
However, you don't have to do what they say, and hopefully you can come up with something that's a compromise that they can live with and you can live with. You know, otherwise things can get kind of despairing and silly.
Richard Price is my guest, and he wrote the screenplay for Kiss of Death, and he also wrote Clockers, which is being made into a film. Is there a difference between writing dialogue for screen and for a novel?
Absolutely. I don't care how great the novel writer or how dazzling the dialogue on the page. If you try to put the dialogue words of a novel in an actor's mouth and have 2-3 actors play out that scene that anybody, exquisite writers, Don DeLillo, anybody, Robert Stone, it's going to sound written because it is written. It's amazing how much stuff looks dazzlingly authentic and true and beautiful on the page, but it dies in somebody's mouth. It sounds like creative writing. And this is a lesson that you have to learn over and over again, that the spoken word has nothing to do with the written word. It's so easy for something to sound, quote unquote, written in somebody's mouth. And it's amazing how little is too much. I've heard De Niro reading some of my stuff in Mad Dog and Glory, and it sounded like, who do you think you are, anyhow? And it's not his fault. He was just, some metaphor I put in there, some simile, and it just sounded written, and it's so obvious.
Can you think of an example of something that you wrote that didn't work?
Yeah, I mean, well, this thing with De Niro, he was doing a scene in Mad Dog and Glory where he was explaining to Uma Thurman how he likes to, in the middle of the night, come down to the deserted section of Chicago and just take photographs, and how at one time he was down there, and right in front of this big office building was a deer, and he had no idea how it got there, whether it broke out of the zoo, swam over from Indiana. And his one line, I said, a deer, you know, it had antlers like a chandelier. And the minute he said that antlers like a chandelier, you would never notice that on the page. It seems like a nice image. It's so obvious. What happens, that's the importance of a read-through for the writer and the director, because when the actors at a big round table read all the parts of a script, what doesn't work is going to pop up so obviously, and there's no substitute for that. There's no other way you can learn that except to hear it in somebody's mouth.
You told Neil Gabler in an interview that you're fascinated by the way people construct a sequence of words, the misnomers, the malapropisms, and how that reveals how they process the world. You say it's an oral Rorschach test. I think that's really interesting, and I think you do that really well in your dialogue, but I was wondering if you could come up with an example of that, of how you use malaprops or misnomers.
Oh, I've heard or read people saying stuff, stuff like, I remember I was at a crime scene in Jersey City, and I was with a cop who was working the crowd trying to find out if anybody knew anything. And, you know, he asked one kid, you see what happened? He says, well, that boy got shot up. He said, well, you know who did it? He says, well, I don't want to cast out no aspersions per se. another guy, came up in somebody else's thing. I guess what they meant to say, they were simonizing their car. If I can't remember where I read this, where the guy says, no, I didn't see anything, man. I was busy sodomizing my car. I keep my ear to the grindstone. Money's no expense. The things that, but it's not just the humorous things, when you're out there, it's not so much what you're going to hear as it is everything that you're going to take in.
Without mentioning names, I feel like I've read novelists who've then done a lot of work in television, and it's had a bad effect on their dialogue in their novels. You know how you're saying there's a difference between how you write for the page and how you write for the screen? Do you ever worry that writing for the screen is going to hurt how you write on for a novel.
No. Well, it's going to, well, not the dialogue, it's going to hurt. You know, you have to unlearn a lot of things if you're a novelist in order to successfully write a screenplay, because all the instincts that a writer has to make a novel have a certain heft and seriousness and a certain depth all has to be exercised, because none of that stuff is relevant to a screenplay. A screenplay is about momentum. A screenplay is about that flat surface of the screen. It's who said what, who did what, and move. Whereas a novel is about, you know, you dally in the valley. It's about language. It's about texture. It's about memory. It's about innuendo. You can spend, you know, 10 pages, you know, just delving into somebody's memories. And you cannot do that in a screenplay. So you have to unlearn all that stuff. You know, it's like writing a novel is you're a marathon runner. Writing a screenplay, you're doing the 100-yard dash. And you can't have the pace of a marathon runner for a 100-yard dash. You have to, like, really re-coach your muscles. And then when you go back, you got to relearn what you unlearned. So, but it doesn't seem to be affecting me. I was worried about it before I wrote Clockers. But now I know I can go back and forth.
Richard Price wrote the screenplay for A Kiss of Death. This is Fresh Air.